Proverbs 17:22 again tonight. I want to turn over there. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. We began here last week, and I almost got the first part done. 17:22, the Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." So we talked about last week, and I want to just give a little bit of a review and kind of get here. I want to talk about a merry heart at Christmas time. And so, and I mentioned why there's no command to there's no command to create a yearly holiday to celebrate the birth. The Bible does give us multiple divine approved approved celebrations that we did find, some celebrations at the moment of the birth. We found there in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." And he says, "Glory to God in the highest." So we found that heaven celebrated. And in verse 20, went down there and we find it, we looked at that last Sunday, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. So the shepherds also were celebrating the birth. And then in Matthew, over in Matthew chapter 2, 10 and 11, we find them talking about the wise men. So when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. And that was even 2 years later. And we find that they were still celebrating the birth, still celebrating that time. And so Christ's birth was met with joy, with worship, with praise, and with giving. So celebrating the incarnation, the birth, the coming of Christ to this earth itself, is found biblically, if not commanded specifically. Right? We find this happening, though it's not said to do that. I mean, you know, so anyhow, I want us to see, first of all, we talked about this, but first of all, Christmas is the only truthful truly joyful holiday. We talked about that. Most holidays are just what? Just days off, right? We talked about that. They're not really days of joy. They're, but the real, true joy, real joy, only exists when there's a Savior. And we talked about the second thing. A merry heart comes from God, not from circumstances. Happiness depends on what is happening, right? Bob, can we just get that just down again a little bit? Happiness depends on what happens, right? That's kind of that happensness, right? Happiness. But here's the thing: what is happening can change, right? What is happening can change. Happiness is in a constant state of fluctuation. That's the way happiness is. It's constantly changing. The Dallas Cowboys win a game, and you think they have a chance to make it to the playoffs. You're like, woohoo! And then the next Sunday they lose, and you're not happy about that anymore, right? Okay, let's think about this. You get a promotion at your job. You're really happy you got a promotion, and then you find out who your new coworkers are, right? Or with that promotion comes a lot of extra responsibility, and you're like, man, I'm not sure if you're right. Happy, right? Or you understand? You know, things happen. Relationships, things change. It's always in a state of fluctuation. Joy, though, depends on who you belong to. And so Christmas joy is God-given, not situation-controlled. And so remember, we talked about the shepherds. They had a heart. They had hard lives, yet they had good tidings of great joy. And Christ's birth brought joy, even though nothing around them became easier. You understand what I'm saying? He brought joy, even though physically nothing, it didn't get easier when Jesus came. Matter of fact, Mary and Joseph still had trials, they still had dangers, they still had poverty, right? Still had these kind of things. Joy came because the Savior arrived, not because life got simple. And so I want to talk about number three. Christmas joy is healing. Christmas joy is healing, like a medicine. Look again at chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Okay, so we find this, it's healing. I want to talk about this a little bit, the healing of Christ coming. Because Christ heals what sin has broken. Okay, so Christ heals what sin has broken. Number one, He turns guilt into forgiveness. You ever felt guilty? You've never felt it. I hope you're facetious. We still do that sometimes. Even after saved, you feel like, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. You go away, or I shouldn't have done that. Y'all ever feel like that? Like, yeah, every day. You know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all looking back, they're like, you know, that's my state of... Here's the thing about guilt. Guilt eats at you. Eats at you. See, what the Lord brought, He brought forgiveness. I've done some stupid things in life. I know you have too. We've done stupid. Aren't you glad you don't have to just pile that on and pile it on and pile it on? He turns guilt into forgiveness. And so, look, I've got some things here. Sin produces real guilt. Okay, listen. Sin produces real guilt, not just bad feelings. Okay? Not just bad feelings. I really feel bad about that. No. Sin brings something more than that. It brings a guilt that eats at us. B, no amount of good works can erase that guilt. You ever tried to do that? You ever tried to get rid of your guilt by doing good stuff? Right? Like, I've done something, I feel bad about it. So now I'm going to pile up good things to displace that, right? No amount of good works can erase that guilt, though. It doesn't work that way. See, Christ heals guilt by actually removing it through His blood. Man, it's not just pushed back. He actually, through the blood, He forgives it, and it's washed away. He said He puts it, remembers it no more. It's we try to grab back at it sometimes, but God said, I'm not going to hold that against you anymore. Removes that guilt. What a wonderful thing. Forgiveness is not ignoring sin. It is sin being paid for. Okay? Forgiveness isn't God saying, I'll just pretend like it didn't happen. No. Instead, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going to pay that for you. I'm going to take care of what you did. I'm going to take care of what you did. I'm going to pay for that so you don't have to have that guilt and shame on your life anymore. Man, I'm telling you. So what we're talking about here is He turns guilt into forgiveness. And then number two, He turns fear into peace. He turns fear into peace. So sin creates fear because judgment is real. What are you afraid of? Sin creates fear. When somebody starts sinning, they get into a place of being afraid and fearing what's coming. Because judgment's real, right? You commit a crime, you're going to do the time, right? You ever heard this saying, time flies when you're having fun? I got another saying. Fun flies while you're doing time. That's just free. Y'all can remember that. Use that later. So here's the thing. Why does sin bring fear? Because judgment is real. I'm telling you, judgment is a real thing. And there's a judgment that comes here. There's a temporal judgment and there's an eternal judgment. B, people fear death. They fear the future. They fear, and then they fear what comes after, right? Not only what comes after death, but what comes after that. People fear that. It's fear. People live in a state of fear. See, Christ heals fear by making peace with God. See, this is the thing. He turns fear into peace. You know, there's people that say, I don't believe in eternal salvation. I believe you can lose it and it can come back. It can go, it can come back. I don't believe once saved, always saved. I'm not saying what I believe. I'm saying people say that. Y'all looking at me. Some of y'all looking at me crazy. Some people say, I think, you know, once you can lose it, it goes back and forth. I've always thought about that. I thought, how do you know when you lose it? Yeah, I mean, it's made up. So do you know when you lose it? Do you know when you get it back? I mean, what a feeling was that? No, listen, that's fear. Hope I'm still saved. You ever did this before you got saved? You prayed every night that, God, if I'm not saved, am I saved? You just kind of keep praying that I'm saved. God, I pray that I'm saved. I pray that I'm saved. I pray that I'm saved. You're like, if it didn't work, I pray that I'm saved. That's not peace. That's fear. God brings peace. What he brought, when he brought Jesus to this earth, he brought the answer. Man, what a great thing. The believer is no longer God's enemy, but God's child. And that's we go into a different category, right? We go out of the enemy category into family. Now, part of being family, though, is you get a little discipline with that, or a lot of discipline, maybe. Depends on how much you need, right? God gives you what you need, gives me what I need. But it's better to be in the family and get a little discipline than be the enemy, to be at enmity with God, right? Peace replaces fear because the greatest danger, judgment, has been removed. See, that's why fear goes away, because the greatest fear is, which is the danger of judgment, it's removed. So believers, listen, the good news of Jesus Christ coming to this earth is that he came to take away that judgment that's coming for us. And I don't have to fear. What can you take from me? My life, man, I've got a life that's after this life that's better than this life. You can't threaten me with heaven. I mean, I'm not inviting you. I'm not inviting someone to come kill me. Get it, if y'all watching. I'm not inviting anybody to come. But you can't. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Well, you could get really sick. Okay, I don't want to be sick. I don't like pain. I want everything to go my way, right? All the time. But the thing is, if you get sick, it's not the end. I don't need fear anymore. I know God. He came to take away fear, and he took away fear and brought in its place peace. Peace. Remember when Jesus was up on that boat, and he set out to the water. He said, "What? Peace, be still." They were excited, weren't they? They were all, we're going to, yeah. You know, can you kind of get Jesus saying something like this? So what? We can get so wrapped up in what's going on. Here's what he came to do. Now, sometimes we still live in that fear. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes we get back in it. He came to take away the fear. He said, there's nothing this world can do to you that you won't still have what I've got for you. And it's so much better than what this is. He turns that, he replaces that fear with and removes judgment. Now, number three, he turns sorrow into hope. Hope, yeah. So sin, A, under that, sin fills life with loss, with regret, with brokenness and grief. That's what sin does. Sin brings loss of stuff, loss of time, regret. Sin brings regret. I don't know of anybody that comes to some place. We kind of have these points in our life, right? Where we kind of get a little bit of a wake-up call. Right? Maybe it's the sickness. Maybe it's a relationship that explodes. Maybe it's we're at the point of our own death. People have there's points in their life, right, that all of a sudden they come and they start looking at their life. And there's not, I don't know of anybody that'll go through that life and get, I mean, I'm sure there's some, but most people, I should say, get to those points and they look back and they regret their sin. Sin brings regret, brings loss, right? It brings brokenness. And you want to talk about these lives that are around us. And by the way, folks, we're not living in a generation this is getting better. Talk about bringing grief. I think Brother Jett had talked about it. We are in the day the greatest, I think the greatest sickness or the greatest problem among people today is anxiety. It's grief, brokenness. There's something missing. We're in a very emotionally broken day. All over. That's what sin. Sin brings those things. B, even forgiven people still feel sorrow in a broken world. Right? But look here. See, Christ heals sorrow by giving hope beyond failure. Okay. Christ, He heals that sorrow by giving hope. But when I say beyond, I might say it this way, after our failure. You ever failed? You ever failed and just wanted to quit? Pretty regularly? It's kind of our go-to, isn't it? Kind of normal. Like, I just don't even know if I want to try again. So how the Lord heals that sorrow, because we can still have sorrow in this broken world. He gives hope beyond the failure, beyond death, and beyond the grave. This, and again, I'm going back to the same thing. There's nothing here that God doesn't. We have hope that's beyond this thing. So, D, hope does not mean life becomes easy. It means life is no longer, what's this word? Meaningless. It's not that hope doesn't mean life becomes easy. It means that what we're dealing with, what we're living through, it's not meaningless. There's a point to it. There's a value. There's a reason for it. So, and then we go to number four. He turns emptiness into purpose. Sin leaves, and we're on A now, sin leaves people empty. Empty. Because they were created for God, not independence from Him. Imagine this relationship that God intended for you to have. And your whole life is about trying to find that relationship first. And then once you find that relationship, then to cultivate that relationship. That's God's whole plan for you. That's His purpose for you. You're to find that relationship. You're to find that person. And once you find that person, then you're to cultivate that relationship. And that is actually your whole purpose. And that purpose is Him. I'm sorry. That person is Him. He is the one who we're supposed to be finding. God's plan. So when we don't find Him, or when we don't cultivate that, what we find is something that emptiness. Sin fills us with that emptiness. And look at B. No amount of success, no amount of pleasure, no amount of distractions can fill what only God was meant to occupy. We call it the God-shaped hole in our heart, right? Like, what a shape is that? I don't know. Whatever shape God is, it's just the whole. I don't know. It's just a phrase. It just means this. It's what God intended for us. Do you believe that? I mean, it's why He put this together for us. So that we could find Him and we could know Him and that we could cultivate that relationship. I didn't say it's easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. Do you know of any relationship that's easy? Relationships are hard, you know, because people want you to do stuff. Sometimes it's stuff you don't want to do, and they want you to do stuff. Like go garage selling or something, go to Hobby Lobby, you know what I mean? But, you know, sometimes there's some things that you have to do that means I've got to sacrifice what I want to do. I've got to sacrifice my will, my way. And this is the relationship with God is really just exactly like that. But I'm telling you, when we find that and we cultivate that relationship, and God has that, and He's occupying that place in our life. Doesn't mean sorrow doesn't come. Doesn't mean challenge doesn't come. But it means we could find that purpose in our life to get us back on track. See, Christ heals emptiness by restoring a person to their true purpose. Is what we're talking about. And that purpose, D, that purpose is to know God, to walk with Him, to serve Him, and to glorify Him. E, life is no longer accidental. It's no longer accidental, or what's the word we'd use? Coincidental. Ah, it's just coincidence. Man, I just got lucky. What He does is really this thing. It's about what Jesus Christ does is give us that purpose. That's what He's restoring, that purpose in our life. And so no longer do we live our life as it's an accident. It becomes directed. It becomes, I'm doing something on purpose. Not let's see what happens and I'll live the life. Man, this is a very shady, dark, difficult Christian life that lives in the way of we'll just see whatever happens and we'll just go with the flow. That is a Christian life that's about to plummet into a castaway. B, that is why the joy Christ gives is like medicine to the soul. Proverbs 17:22 gives us two options. Again, it gives us two options. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So two options. A, what? A merry heart or a broken spirit. Which line do you want to get in? I mean, who wants to get... Can I get in that broken spirit line? That just... I don't even know what all that is, but that just sounds fun. Nobody is like that. I just want to be sulky. I want to be sulky. I want to be negative. I want to be downtrodden. I want to be Eeyore. Y'all know Eeyore?
Yeah.
I haven't watched that for years, but it just... I don't think my kids didn't even watch that. I don't even, it's been forever that I've seen it. You know, it's like this... I mean, it's really a funny character that they created. And it's just this, you're like, I mean, I don't know that Winnie the Pooh was that excited either. But this guy just, it's like the whole life is spent being miserable. That's a broken spirit. It's like I just, and you're like, man, but yeah, things are really good. But they're probably going to be bad after they're good. You know what I mean? It's a broken spirit. One, that you know really what it is? It's one that lives with all of the things that we just talked about here. It's all the things. It's one that still lives with guilt. I've done wrong. So did we all. And such were some of you, right? Is what the that's what we and so we're still holding on to that guilt. Still holding on to the fear. Wonder what's going to happen. What's going to happen next? Something's going to happen next, and probably some of it's not going to be good. I do want everything to go my way all the time, but it doesn't. And when it doesn't, I don't like it. But we continue. We live in the peace because, you know, I know instead of, imagine this, the difference between saying something's good happened, yeah, but there's going to be something bad behind it. You ever hear people say stuff like that? Yeah, if it's good, I got to be careful now because something bad's going to happen. What is that thinking? That's like, I got to be afraid now because good stuff's happening. I better calm it down before. I mean, it gets too good. I mean, I might break into like rejoicing if I get too excited about that. You know what I mean? Listen, holding on to the sorrow, all that kind of stuff. It's just a mess. Listen, number two, let this Christmas season be a time to be merry in what God has given you. Is there some things He hasn't given you? Yeah, sure. just be merry in what He has given you. And listen, live these days, and I mean, I'm talking about these days, this season, with purpose. Purpose to be merry. Not merry, but merry, right? Purpose to be, have a merry heart. And be, the joy of the Lord is our, it's our strength. I want to say this, and I've got this written down. If there's anyone that should be merry during this season, it should be us. What does Merry Christmas mean? That's a pretty good phrase when you think about it in the light of what we just talked about. Merry Christmas isn't just like, hey, how you doing? Because we use how you doing as a phrase, right? So how you doing? I don't really want to know. I'm just, how you doing? Good, good, me too, good. We're not really asking. It's an American euphemism. We just say it. It's a greeting. But Merry Christmas, let it be for us, folks, as maybe we're telling them Merry Christmas, but really we're reminding ourselves that Christ has come and He's taken away all that stuff. Yeah. And He has made everything new. And man, what a time. The angels rejoiced. Mary broke out in song. The shepherds rejoiced. We're going to look at these others the next couple of weeks. Other folks, people just rejoiced all around this thing because wow, He's come and He's here. So let's just try to remember what. Let this, you know. I was going to look at the statistics. I didn't get to that, but the statistics on suicide rate right after Christmas in January, I think, is the highest suicide rate. Because people, they get happiness when things are happening because all the excitement of what's happening, and then it drops. You know, it used to be, they've changed things, but it used to be one of the most violent days. I'm being a little facetious here, but one of the most violent days was Black Friday when people are buying presents for Christmas. Like, what's wrong with people? What is wrong? Let this be a time of being merry, right? Let what we have is so awesome. We've got a Savior who is Christ. He's born. Christ the Lord, He's born, and He's here, He's with us, and He came, and they were excited, and so let's rejoice. Let's be merry. Let's all stand. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for what You've done. Lord, what You've done in our world. Lord, I can't even pretend to understand Your plan and how You would mastermind such a plan that would sacrifice Your only Son. And Lord, yet You know that was the only way to make peace among this humanity. And Lord, I thank You for giving Your Son. I thank You for Jesus and what He spent on this earth. And even though we do know that He was despised and rejected, and yet, Lord, even today we can rejoice that He gave all that we can have, that we could have all. Lord, I pray that You'd help us during this season of Christmas, that it would be a time to be merry, a time to rejoice in what our Savior has done for us. And Lord, that we might share that message, might live in our hearts so freely. And we'll thank You now in Jesus' name.